Escuelas Oficiales de Idiomas de la Región de Murcia. Pruebas específicas de certificación. Inglés. Nivel B1. Convocatoria Extraordinaria 2022. Comprensión de textos orales.
Task 1. Listen to the biography of activist Susan B. Anthony. Complete the gaps with one word or number from the recording. The first sentence is an example. Write your final answers on the answer sheet, in spaces 1 to 9. You will hear the recording twice.
Now you have 2 minutes to read the task before the audio starts.
Today we are going to learn about Susan B. Anthony. Susan B. Anthony was a teacher, was a speaker around the country, and she fought for women's rights, especially a woman's right to vote. Let's look at the life of this extraordinary woman. Susan B. Anthony was born in 1820 to a Quaker family. The Quakers are a type of religious group, and the Quakers believed that men and women should have equal rights. This had a big impact on Susan B. Anthony when she was a child. Now, back then, only men were allowed to vote. This made Susan B. Anthony very frustrated. She thought it was only fair for women to be able to vote, too. Susan B. Anthony was a teacher, but quit when she saw how unfairly women were paid. Susan B. Anthony decided to travel the country, making speeches. She wanted everyone in the country to hear about the cause of women's rights. Many people disagreed with her. Sometimes people would shout at her or even throw eggs at her when she spoke. But guess what? She never gave up. In 1872, Susan B. Anthony voted, even though it was illegal. She was arrested for doing what she felt was right. And guess what? She refused to pay the fine. She said that she would not pay a fine that was unjust or unfair. Susan B. Anthony continued to fight for women's rights until she died in 1906. And because of her, in 1920, 14 years after she passed away, women won the right to vote. In 1972, to celebrate all she did in life, Susan B. Anthony became the first woman to be on a U.S. coin. It was called the Anthony Dollar. Susan B. Anthony, what an amazing life she led. Today, we are going to learn about Susan B. Anthony. Susan B. Anthony was a teacher, was a speaker around the country, and she fought for women's rights, especially a woman's right to vote. Let's look at the life of this extraordinary woman. Susan B. Anthony was born in 1820 to a Quaker family. The Quakers are a type of religious group, and the Quakers believed that men and women should have equal rights. This had a big impact on Susan B. Anthony when she was a child. Now, back then, only men were allowed to vote. This made Susan B. Anthony very frustrated. She thought it was only fair for women to be able to vote, too. Susan B. Anthony was a teacher, but quit when she saw how unfairly women were paid. Susan B. Anthony decided to travel the country, making speeches. She wanted everyone in the country to hear about the cause of women's rights. Many people disagreed with her. Sometimes people would shout at her or even throw eggs at her when she spoke. But guess what? She never gave up. In 1872, Susan B. Anthony voted, even though it was illegal. She was arrested for doing what she felt was right. And guess what? She refused to pay the fine. She said that she would not pay a fine that was unjust or unfair. Susan B. Anthony continued to fight for women's rights until she died in 1906. And because of her, in 1920, 14 years after she passed away, women won the right to vote. In 1972, to celebrate all she did in life, Susan B. Anthony became the first woman to be on a U.S. coin. It was called the Anthony Dollar. Susan B. Anthony, what an amazing life she led.
Task 2. Listen to the story of Lee Tambellini, a marathon runner. Decide which seven statements, A to O, are true according to the recording. The first sentence is an example. Write the corresponding letter, A to O, on the answer sheet, in spaces 10 to 16. You will hear the recording twice.
Now you have 2 minutes to read the task before the audio starts.
Running a marathon is not easy. It takes hard work, practice, and patience. After all, to run a marathon, you have to run 26.2 miles by foot. Think about it this way. 26.2 miles is the same as running the length of a football field more than 460 times. It takes most people 4 or 5 hours to finish. In 2013, the world's fastest marathon runner finished the race in 2 hours, 3 minutes, and 23 seconds. Imagine running for over 2 hours without a break. By the age of 30, Leah Tambellini had run more than 5 marathons and had no plans to stop. She had always been an athlete. When she was in high school, she swam on her school's swim team and ran to stay healthy and active. Her mom and dad ran marathons, and when she was 22, they helped her train for her first marathon. Leah's first marathon took place in Cincinnati, Ohio, and was called the Flying Pig. "I was very nervous," she said, "but I had my mom there, so that helped." Running the race was hard, but the hardest part was when she ran past a cookie factory and smelled cookies at mile 18. "I just wanted to be done," she said. "I was spent, but my mom kept me going." It was already her 15th marathon. The word marathon comes from a Greek legend. In the legend, a brave soldier ran all the way from the battlefield of Marathon to Athens, Greece, to tell everyone the Greeks had won the battle against the Persians. It is said that he ran the entire way without stopping, a distance equal to a modern marathon. Today, thousands of people run marathons every year. Runners train for months to get ready. To prepare for one of the marathons, Leah ran 4 to 5 times every week. On weekdays, she completed shorter runs, 5 or 6 miles at most. But on the weekends, she ran long distances, 13 miles, 15 miles, and 20 miles. "I don't mind training because I get excited about working towards something. And I love running with a group of friends and working toward the goal together. But it does take a lot of time." Running a marathon is a great achievement. "It's a feeling of accomplishment, and nothing feels as wonderful as reaching my goal when I cross the finish line," Leah explained. "I can't wait for the next one." Running a marathon is not easy. It takes hard work, practice, and patience. After all, to run a marathon, you have to run 26.2 miles by foot. Think about it this way. 26.2 miles is the same as running the length of a football field more than 460 times. It takes most people 4 or 5 hours to finish. In 2013, the world's fastest marathon runner finished the race in 2 hours, 3 minutes, and 23 seconds. Imagine running for over 2 hours without a break. By the age of 30, Leah Tambellini had run more than 5 marathons and had no plans to stop. She had always been an athlete. When she was in high school, she swam on her school's swim team and ran to stay healthy and active. Her mom and dad ran marathons, and when she was 22, they helped her train for her first marathon. Leah's first marathon took place in Cincinnati, Ohio, and was called the Flying Pig. "I was very nervous," she said, "but I had my mom there, so that helped." Running the race was hard, But the hardest part was when she ran past a cookie factory and smelled cookies at mile 18. "I just wanted to be done," she said. "I was spent, but my mom kept me going." It was already her 15th marathon. The word marathon comes from a Greek legend. In the legend, a brave soldier ran all the way from the battlefield of Marathon to Athens, Greece, to tell everyone the Greeks had won the battle against the Persians. It is said that he ran the entire way without stopping, a distance equal to a modern marathon. Today, thousands of people run marathons every year. Runners train for months to get ready. To prepare for one of the marathons, Leah ran 4 to 5 times every week. On weekdays, she completed shorter runs, 5 or 6 miles at most. But on the weekends, she ran long distances, 13 miles, 15 miles, and 20 miles. "I don't mind training because I get excited about working toward something, and I love running with a group of friends and working toward the goal together. But it does take a lot of time." Running a marathon is a great achievement. "It's a feeling of accomplishment, and nothing feels as wonderful as reaching my goal when I cross the finish line," Leah explained. "I can't wait for the next one."
Task 3. Listen to a report about an Italian village known for its old inhabitants. Choose the best option, A, B, or C, according to the recording. The first item is an example. Write your final answers, A, B, or C, on the answer sheet, in spaces 17 to 26. You will hear the recording twice.
Now you have 2 minutes to read the task before the audio starts.
The scene at an Italian cafe may not seem remarkable until you know their ages. They're each 100 years old. And Guido Lepori says he's got years to go.
150.
Old age is common and celebrated in this town, where murals depict residents who've reached at least 100. Villa Grande is in Sardinia, a well-known destination for tourists who come for the culture and beaches. But it's also drawing scientists and gerontologists, including Johnny Pess and Walter Longo.
The whole world talks about this town. So we have 6 centenarians out of 2,000, 3,000 people. Extremely rare anywhere in the world.
Longo directs the Longevity Institute at the University of Southern California and collaborates with Pess in studying this phenomenon of so many centenarians.
We are trying to find an explanation because after 20 years of hard work, we still don't have a clear explanation.
Villa Grande is a place where after 63 years of marriage, one can still find Gabriele Mareu and his wife Ermelinda tending their garden.
Are you always this active? Siete sempre così attivi?
Sempre, no.
Always. I've always worked, this now 96-year-old told us. So has his cousin Vittoria. At 93, she's still hired by the Orlando Hotel to demonstrate the traditional way of making this bread, pistocco.
10% of people who are born in Villa Grande attain the age of 90.
10%?
10%. In Italy, it's 3%. So you can imagine it's more than 3 times higher than the national average.
Walter Longo thinks periods of fasting, for instance during wartime, followed by a richer diet with more protein and fat in later years, may contribute to longer lifespans. But meeting with those centenarians, he noted something else, the age of siblings.
How much of this is genetics versus lifestyle?
If you think about an athlete that wins lots of gold medals, you probably have to have the genetics, but then you have to have the training, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that the genetics set you up, but they're not going to get you there alone. And so then the lifestyle, and particularly the food, is a key factor.
Those lifestyle factors are on display. Living up in these mountains means regular exercise. And in town, community and family is important, particularly for Marietta Moni, who lives alone at 100.
Ha fatto Rita.
Ah, Rita made this.
We joined her for lunch made by family living in the apartment upstairs.
Buon appetito!
Buon appetito.
On the menu, pasta with tomato sauce. Historically, vegetables have figured prominently here.
Perfetto.
So has red wine.
Grazie.
Imbibed in moderation. The scene at an Italian cafe may not seem remarkable until you know their ages. They're each 100 years old. And Guido Lepori says he's got years to go.
150.
Old age is common and celebrated in this town, where murals depict residents who've reached at least 100. Villa Grande is in Sardinia, a well-known destination for tourists who come for the culture and beaches. But it's also drawing scientists and gerontologists, including Johnny Pess and Walter Longo.
The whole world talks about this town. So we have six centenarians out of 2,000-3,000 people. Extremely rare anywhere in the world.
Longo directs the Longevity Institute at the University of Southern California and collaborates with Pess in studying this phenomenon of so many centenarians.
We are trying to find an explanation because after 20 years of hard work, we still don't have a clear explanation.
Villa Grande is a place where after 63 years of marriage, one can still find Gabriele Mareu and his wife Ermelinda tending their garden.
Are you always this active? Siete sempre così attivi?
Sempre. No,
always. I've always worked, this now 96-year-old told us. So has his cousin Vittoria. At 93, she's still hired by the Orlando Hotel to demonstrate the traditional way of making this bread, pistocco.
10% of people who are born in Villa Grande attain the age of 90.
10%?
10%. In Italy, it's 3%. So you can imagine it's more than three times higher than the national average.
Walter Longo thinks periods of fasting, for instance during wartime, followed by a richer diet with more protein and fat in later years, may contribute to longer lifespans. But meeting with those centenarians, he noted something else, the age of siblings.
How much of this is genetics versus lifestyle?
If you think about an athlete that wins lots of gold medals, you probably have to have the genetics, but then you have to have the training, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that the genetics set you up, but they're not going to get you there alone. And so then the lifestyle, and particularly the food, is a key factor.
Those lifestyle factors are on display. Living up in these mountains means regular exercise. And in town, community and family is important, particularly for Marietta Moni, who lives alone at 100.
Ha fatto Rita.
Rita made this.
We joined her for lunch made by family living in the apartment upstairs.
Buon appetito!
Buon appetito!
On the menu, pasta with tomato sauce. Historically, vegetables have figured prominently here.
Perfetto.
Soap has red wine.
Grazie.
Imbibed in moderation.
Fin de la prueba.